Hi guys, this is Dillis.
Hello everybody, this is Jacob Minang.
Welcome to another episode of the Let's Talk podcast. So today Jacob and I are going to be exploring chapter 11 of my book, Fighting the Good Fight. As always, our aim is to point out some key areas that we would like you as couples going through the 52-week devotional to focus on as you're doing this journey with us. But before we go into this, let's give Jacob the chance to lead us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. O Lord, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jacob. So guys, today is my lucky day. I picked the lucky draw to be the one to read. So chapter 11, Pruning the Fruits of Anger, scripture passage. Whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Matthew 5:22. Contrary to popular belief, being angry is not a sin. Anger is a state of mind that hinders righteousness, which is God's purpose for our lives. James 1:20. To understand the impact of the spirit of anger, we must grasp the meaning of righteousness. In 1 John 3:7, the Apostle John provides a clear definition of righteousness. I quote, "Whoever does what is right is righteous." End of quote. Righteousness is consistently doing what is right towards others and oneself. To comprehend how to stay righteous, we must examine our personal struggle with the spirit of anger. The book of Sirach warns us about the deadliness of anger, especially when it consumes a woman. Sirach 25:15. We witness this destructive force in the story of Cain, who out of anger kills his brother. Therefore, we must remain vigilant and mindful of this spirit at all time. Among all the other spirits, anger is the most detrimental to humanity and marriages. I have witnessed numerous families and marriages torn apart by anger. Anger can linger in our hearts, leading us into sin. Ephesians 4:26. When we remain angry, we give the devil an opportunity to tempt us further. As discussed earlier, anger prevents us from operating in righteousness and doing what is right in any given situation. The consequences of anger are numerous and could fill an entire book. For the purpose of this chapter, I will name a few examples. Anger leads us into trouble. Psalms 37:8. Holding grudges due to anger only makes us look foolish and hinders us from doing what is right. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Expressing anger openly only reveals our lack of self-control. Proverbs 29:11. Anger causes us to lose patience and lose control of ourselves. Proverbs 15:18. Anger fuels the desire for revenge, preventing God from executing justice on our behalf. Romans 12:19. Anger leads us to use harmful and hurtful words instead of words that edify. Ephesians 4:29. Anger grieves the Holy Spirit within us, who is the seal of God. Ephesians 4:30. anger deceives us, making us hear the right advice, but fail to put it into practice. James 1:22. Jesus himself warns that anger blocks our prayers and subjects us to judgment. Matthew 5:22. Lastly, anger prevents us from experiencing God's blessings as we fail to act on his word. James 1:22. I understand that despite this knowledge, some may still believe their anger is justified and struggle to let it go. Indeed, there is such a thing as justified anger. However, the book of Sirach tells us that unjustified anger leads to a person's downfall. Even if our anger is justified, we must remember that being in an angry state makes us prone to doing wrong, which then renders us unjustified. This is why we are urged to surrender it to God, the only one who can take actions that benefit us in the present and the future. You might be thinking, easier said than done. However, as difficult as it may seem, it is indeed possible. The good news is that we can get rid of anger and hateful feelings. In Colossians 3, verse 8, Ephesians 4, verse 26, and James 1, verse 21, we are assured that we have the capacity and power to overcome anger before it leads us to sin. The Bible provides three practical pieces of advice to help us restrain ourselves from acting on our anger. Number one, Proverbs 15, verse 1, teaches us that using a gentle voice is the best way to resolve anger. Speaking gently not only calms us down, but also diffuses the situation, preventing it from spiraling out of control. Number two, in addition to calming our voices, we should keep our temper under control. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, and Proverbs 16, verse 32. This can be achieved by being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James 1, verse 19. Three, lastly, we should pray for God's righteous anger to be revealed. Psalms 94, verse 1. By entrusting our anger to God, we allow him to bring justice to the situation and bring peace to our hearts. Remember that vengeance belongs to the Lord, who can bring both revenge and peace to any situation. Rid yourself of bitterness, hate, and anger, replacing them with kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. Colossians 3, verse 13. Rest assured that if you follow this step, the judge, the Lord your God, has got you covered. Reflection question. Reflect on a recent situation where anger arose in your relationship. How did you handle it? Did you let anger control your actions, or did you respond with understanding and patience? What could you have done differently in diffusing the situation and maintaining peace in your relationship? Action step for the week. Practice active listening and empathy when conflicts arise this week. Instead of reacting in anger, make a conscious effort to truly understand your partner's perspective and emotions. Take a step back, breathe, and respond with kindness and patience, seeking resolution and maintaining peace in your relationship.
Thank you, Delis, for that very clear read of chapter 11 of your book, Fighting the Good Fight, titled Pruning the Fruits of Anger. this is a very interesting chapter, and I'm amazed at how much I learned about what anger actually does to us and the tricks that the devil plays to us using this particular spirit. But for those that are joining us for the first time, that have just bought their books or they are still to buy their books, I'll try to help situate you where we are. So the book has 8 sections. We're in section 2 of the book. The first section of the book introduced, which had 4 chapters, introduced the idea of having a mission, a vision, and a purpose as a family. And in the first chapter, the list covered how a man shows love to his wife through submission. Submits to his wife by true love. While the second chapter talked about a man's authority, which is gotten from God and not by virtue of anything special that he did. And the third chapter talks about the woman submitting to the husband to respect. And all of this follows from St. Paul's instructions to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, where it talks about husband and wife submitting to each other with love as to Christ. And in the fourth chapter, Liz introduces the concept of the cord that binds, which is the Holy Spirit, and why a couple struggle with submitting to each other, because you need the Spirit. Remember, St. Paul also in one of his writings talks about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so there's that need for the Spirit being the third person in your marriage, the Trinity. Yeah, so now we're in section 2 of the book, where the list opens that up with the concept of pruning, where as we remember in the Gospels, Christ referred to himself as being the vine and we the branches. And that is in a garden where God is the gardener. And as a good gardener, God has to prune the fruits, cut off the branches that are going off kilt, as well as remove any weeds that are in that garden. And so Dilys takes us through these 7 vices, which she calls them 7 spirits, and each of them having their fruits. And we are on the seed spirit. The first one in chapter 6 was the spirit of pride. Chapter 7 covered the spirit of greed. Chapter 8, the spirit of lust. Chapter 9, the spirit of jealousy. Chapter 10, the spirit of gluttony. And now we are on chapter 11, where we'll be covering the spirit of anger. And so this chapter opens up very beautifully with the scripture passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 22, which reminds us, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment.
This was a great pick for this chapter, this scripture, Jacob, because you can clearly see here that Christ is trying to say that whatever you hold your brother against, like whatever you're holding against your brother, that same judgment that you're giving to your brother out of anger is going to be used to judge you. And that's why he's saying you're going to be liable to judgment. So, you know, like this comes after he has taught his apostles the our Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, he says, forgive me as I forgive others, right?
Yeah, so forgive my trespasses as I forgive others who trespass against me.
Yeah, and that prayer, most often, we don't forgive others because a lot of us are suffering with this. I will be the first to tell everybody here that this is one of my vices.
Well, everybody, as we pointed out, Delis, as you clearly pointed out in the intro to this section under the chapter 6 for pruning, that we all are affected by these 7 vices to different extents. They're like different spectrum, but one or two of them are heightened for each person, and they are responsible for the downfall. Whichever one is heightened in you is responsible for your downfall. Yeah. So we all experience the vices at different levels. So you have to start reading this chapter and thinking, is anger the one that's most heightened in me? And not that, do I ever get angry? Because we all suffer from anger.
And on different scales, like you're saying, it's a continuum, right?
Right.
It might be higher for you and lower for the others.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think going through this book, as I was writing this chapter, I was truly able to understand how much more my continuum was a lot more higher with anger. But like the book says in the very beginning, the chapter introduces by saying anger is not a sin. I mean, we see God in his all-powerful self gets angry several times in the Bible.
Right.
But it's just that he is God. And even in his anger, he can do the right thing. He can still bring peace to the situation.
God can see things straight in anger, but we human beings are so vulnerable. When we are angry, regardless of why we are angry, we're incapable of thinking right and doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So we lose our power to righteousness.
Yes, yes. So it's a state of mind. Anger is a state of mind that hinders our ability to be righteous, which is God's purpose. Again, James 1 verse 20 tells us that that is God's purpose for our life, is so that we can be right. We can be righteous in our actions. And once as you lose that ability to be righteous, that's what leads you to sin, because now it's your inability to be righteous that's the sinful act that you've done, mm-hmm. and not the fact that you were angry.
Absolutely.
So if we understand that, then we truly understand what is standing between us and being righteous. And the definition of righteous in 1 John verse 3, chapter 3, verse 7, says that it's our ability to do the right thing all the time. It's really simple. That's righteousness. So if we, once as you have the state of anger, once as you're in the state of anger, it hinders your ability to think correctly. So you don't do the right thing. And it's no wonder that, again, a lot of our palans, our daily palans, somebody will say, I am very mad. Like mad at you.
And I usually say that's good. You're letting us know. But if you're letting us know, it means you're also very conscious about your anger. And if you're conscious about your anger, then you can be intentional not to let it drive your next action, next words that come out of your mouth. You can deal with this. You can exercise self control. Mm-hmm. Because it's okay to be angry, but it's good to be aware that at that moment you're angry, and so you don't want to act out of anger.
Yeah, and it's because of this situation where it keeps you from doing the right thing. It's exactly because of this that anger as a vice and a spirit is very deadly. And we see that in the
very first murder, right? The very first murder that describes the Bible.
Yeah, the very first murder, Cain and Abel, right? We see that in the story of Cain and Abel. Because of his anger, he then, out of jealousy of his brother, because of his anger.
So you start with one spirit, the spirit of jealousy.
Yeah.
That morphs into the other spirit. That's probably because you realize that the spirits are linked. It morphs into the other spirit, which is anger.
Yeah.
And so you end up with both the fruits of jealousy and the fruits of anger here. And the fruit of anger will be hatred.
Yeah.
And you hate somebody to the extent where you can kill them.
You can kill
them. Bitterness.
Yeah. So the one thing about anger, though, Jacob, that the Bible was able, writing this chapter, it was like a eureka moment. Anger can linger in our hearts for long periods of time.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the one thing about anger that you can, it's amazing. And I think this is one of the things I want you to talk about as a couple.
Yeah.
How long can you keep anger?
Yeah, how long do you hold on to things and not let go, despite how much the other person could have tried to make amends?
Yes.
Yeah.
And even when the other person doesn't try to make amends, I mean,
But knowing you've been angry enough, move on, because at the end of the day, the anger is now inhibiting you and not the other person.
Yes.
Probably even oblivious, they're still hanging onto that thing.
Yeah.
Until maybe you bring it up 10 years down the line, like, what the?
Yeah. yeah. So anger, really, I mean, you can meet someone that they've not met, they've not spoken for 20 years.
But they have no idea that you're still angry at them.
But that person is angry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even that you have no idea. When you've gone for that long without talking to that person, you know that that person is angry. You might have let go of whatever it is, but that person is not talking to you for 20 years because they're angry.
Right.
And that's, you've met situations like that in couples where one of them goes for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they're not talking to each other.
It's conflict avoidance. That doesn't solve the conflict. Yeah.
Yes. So it's really one of those things that talk about it and talk about how you can start working your way towards reducing that amount of time that you let anger linger in you, because that time that you're letting anger linger in you is giving room for you to be tempted to do the wrong thing.
Yeah, and you might already be guessing by now, because as we said, anger is just a state of mind. If it's a state of mind, then you can imagine that there are times then that your anger, you would argue, is justified. Oh, he made me angry. She made me angry. Or she did this. Oh, you understand? Yeah. She did not pay the bill on time, even though we agreed very well and we made provisions for funds for this, and he didn't do it. But at times that anger is unjustified, and most of the time anger is unjustified when it's just misdirected, where you can say somebody is suffering, is suffering the consequences for a different person's actions.
Yeah.
The mom comes home, storms in already angry because something that happens at work, and so they are really in a state of anger, as well as the state of mind. And then they carry it out on the child.
Yeah.
And the child doesn't understand what is going on.
Or on your spouse.
Or on your spouse, for that matter. So your spouse ends up being your spouse ends up being the collateral damage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I think that talking about that whole, like Sirach says in the book of Sirach, it's actually the book of Sirach that introduces this concept of unjustified anger, right? And once something can be unjustified, then you know that the opposite is equally true.
Right.
It can be
And I even gave an example that you can even understand for unjustified anger.
Yeah.
Where it looks like it started by being justified. Oh, you're angry at something at work. But it's unjustified anger that starts from one of the other spirits.
Yeah.
It comes from jealousy.
Yes.
So somebody has something that you don't have. So,
like
so
in the case of Cain and Abel.
And then it drags on to become jealousy.
Yeah.
So then it's obviously unjustified. And then leads to bitterness and all of that.
And it leads to a person's downfall.
Right, absolutely.
That's what the book of Sirach tells you. It says unjustified anger leads to your downfall.
Right.
And so unjust, the justified anger now, right, where you really are justified to be angry. Jake, you're saying, look, my spouse cheated on me. This is so unfair. I can be angry. Yes,
right.
You're justified to be angry. However,
if
that makes
based
you
on the anger,
prone to doing the wrong thing. Because you're not God that can think straight in anger. So the action then that you do based on that anger makes you become unjustified.
Yeah, if your next move is in that state of anger, and you notice that Liz mentioned it very clearly in the book about the fact that anger can linger on.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your subsequent actions are because of that anger, which means your subsequent action might even take a month, but if you're still operating under that mindset of anger, that action is likely to be a wrong action, which is likely going to be unjustified.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the anger at the beginning, there was a basis for the anger. So the first thing you have to do is to recognize that you're angry, recognize why you're angry, and then exercise self-control to prevent yourself from acting in the context of anger.
Yeah. So talk amongst yourself as you do this devotional. Are there moments where you've seen unjustified anger in your relationship? And at the moments where you've seen justified anger in your relationship, and have those moments of justified anger turned out to be unjustified? As a matter of fact, you meet a lot of couples that will tell you, you know, he did this thing really wrong, but now we're now talking about this action that I took, right?
Right.
The thing that your spouse did that you really had justification to be angry and to point out or and to ask them to change because of your next action, you now kind of have equated yours thing. And
probably even surpass it because you start saying things or doing things that at the end of the day result in your spouse being embittered or embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know,
you start talking about
the disrespect. If it's a husband, how you're being very disrespectful, you're embarrassing them. And if it's a wife, they'll be complaining of you belittling them.
Exactly.
And no longer what the other person had done wrong in the first place.
Yeah. And so you hear a lot of the times you hear a couple say, every time we end up arguing about he does something wrong or she does something wrong, and we end up arguing about how I reacted to it.
Right, exactly.
And not necessarily what they
did. You're claiming, but then you go like, am I not justified to be angry? Of course you were. The question is, were you justified in the action?
Your action,
So when people are not questioning your anger, if you're justified to be angry, but anger should not be the basis of your next action.
Yeah, again, because anger brings in two main fruits. Mm-hmm. And those two main, there are lots of other fruits, guys. But these two main fruits, it's one of the ones that just drive the deadliness about it. You being hateful, right? The hate, the fruit of hate starts growing in your heart, and the fruit of bitterness.
Bitterness is what lingers on, right? Bitterness almost like think aftertaste. Isn't this thing? It's already gone to your stomach, but there's still an aftertaste left in your mouth. So the taste of bitterness, that's what it lingers on. You're still bitter and angry, and it's a cycle that's feeding into itself.
Exactly. Oh, I wish there was just a way to.
A magic wand
to wave this off, because the bitterness really affects you. And this is why they say that forgiveness is for you, right?
Yeah.
Because when you forgive, you let go bit of that bitterness from
which only hurts you, right? Bitterness doesn't hurt the other person. It hurts by the person who is carrying the bitterness.
Okay, so there are a bunch of consequences, like you heard me read, and I thought we could just talk through a few of them. Like the fact that anger leads you into trouble, we already know that. I mean, a lot of time is because of an angry spouse will get in the car and drive, and the next thing you know,
it's an accident.
There's an accident, you know. Yeah. So they say don't drive when you're angry.
So road rage, right? But that rage is not really at that other driver, is because you're already enraged. Remember the other word for anger? You're already enraged, so you end up having road rage.
Yeah, you're having too much fun with this, right, Jacob? I don't know.
I learned a lot. This chapter really opened my eyes to a lot of goings and comings in my personal life and the life of people that I'm close to. When I read it, I really saw my weaknesses. And I was able to see so many times in life where I acted out of anger, I wrote letters out of anger, I spoke up out of anger, and I wish I had just stopped and said, yes, I'm angry. I know I'm angry, but this is when I'm not going to do anything, regardless of what that action is. Or I'm going to just make sure that none of my actions will be on the basis of that anger. And then the other thing about it is lingering on. I've had to hold anger. It's gone on and off. Sometimes I think I'm already over it. It's disappeared. Until something happens, I realize that the anger is still there. Yeah. And then so you see people go around and they see they have gastritis. Think that if something else has happened, but it's anger that's creating that gastritis. Yeah. It's producing all this acid reflux in your stomach. Yeah. That's eating into your stomach walls, and you're ending up with all these wounds.
And it eats into you also. You can actually see it. Physical manifestation of anger.
You can tell that something is eating in them, right?
So then
holding grudges now due to anger only makes us look foolish and hinders us from doing what is right. You can tell when somebody acts out of character. You have very high expectations of this person. You know everything about this person until you meet them when they are angry
and when they're holding a grudge. Because you know, holding a grudge is like the most stupid thing we can ever do in this world. Because once as you're holding that grudge, like we said, bitterness, it's all against you. It's all working against you. Yeah. Expressing anger openly reveals your lack of self-control, right? Yeah, people walk away thinking.
Yeah, people see you stumble from a conversation that you could have carried on and convinced, because we refuse to recognize the fact that there are always two sides to a story, or at least two perspectives when two people are involved. And so there's no reason why when you've expressed yourself, you want to stump off. You'd be shocked if you only just calm down and listen to the other person. If they're not saying anything uniquely different, they're at least telling you, giving you a perspective that's uniquely different. They give you an angle and looking at the same thing that you sort of realize that the number 9 could still have been the number 6 turned upside down.
And this is the root cause of many divisions.
Right.
Because that open anger and that lack of self-control, that you end up seeing a lot of division, that break, people storm off, and then they, I'm going to go form my own family. I'm going to start my own group in the church. I'm going to start my own subgroup
of the alumni association. And that completely ignoring all the other lessons that God talks about that was stronger unity, all of the things that tradition tells us about that it takes two hands to tie a bundle, and Christ telling us that the kingdom that stands against itself cannot stand, and all of that, but that's because of anger, and then of course anger, just like greed, that sneaks behind lust. Anger sneaks directly behind pride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, behind jealousy. Yes, and so these two seem to always go together.
Yeah, In unjustified cases, though.
Exactly. Yeah.
In unjustified cases.
Right.
So the other thing also is anger causes us to lose our patience, right? And once as you lose that patience, that's where you start seeing transfer aggression.
Absolutely.
You start seeing transfer aggression because you cannot be patient with any other person on your way that day.
That's when you're described as being in an irritable state.
All right. Anger fuels our desire for revenge, preventing God from executing justice
on our behalf. Yeah, because we cannot even exercise full justice. And if we've already done the revenge ourselves, which will likely fall short and actually endanger our own souls, then we take away God's ability now to exact the full justice.
Exactly.
Which will also save our souls and potentially maybe the soul of the other person that made you angry, if it was justified.
Mm-hmm. Anger leads us to use harmful words instead of edifying words. How many times do you hear that those curse words just come out? It's one of the things I think that really breaks down a marriage.
Right, because you can't take those words,
and you cannot take them back. No matter how much you try, you're still going to come out 10 years from today and your husband will say, you called me a fool, you know, or your wife would say, you called me a stupid person. You know, those harmful words, you start using them. Anger grieves the Holy Spirit. Of course, once as those harmful words start coming out, the Holy Spirit is like, oops, my bad, I'm checking out of here. Bye.
Well, because the Holy Spirit cannot cohabit the same space with the spirit of anger, right? Any of these several spirits that the list articulated in separate chapters, they cannot reside in the same space with the spirit. And so it's even when the anger is justified, you want to get over it as soon as possible.
Yeah. And then it deceives us. So we cannot really hear and put into practice the right advice.
We tend to gravitate towards the wrong advice because we're gravitating towards advice that tells us to do something about that anger, which is hurtful. Mm-hmm. When people are telling us otherwise, that forgive, forget, be calm.
Is your own.
That's not what you want to hear. And it's the anger that's driving this.
Yeah, yeah. So Jesus himself even warns us that it blocks our prayers, like we were saying in the beginning. Yeah, lastly, anger prevents us from experiencing God's blessing, right? Because we fail to act in according to his words. And that one is very self-explanatory. So the question now becomes, Jacob, what are our solutions?
What do you do about anger that is bound to happen, right? Because unlike the other verses that we say, well, we just happen to suffer from it, anger is something that is triggered.
Yeah,
especially justified anger. So we would experience anger not just in once in a lifetime, but multiple times a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the solution is about managing anger
and
not preventing
spirit.
It. Yeah. Yes, managing that spirit. Unlike the other vices where you can say, oh, what can I do not to be proud? What can I do not to be jealous? But in this case, not what can I do not to be angry, but what can I do to make sure that I don't act on my anger. Yeah, because that's an emotion that you have and it seems to be a state of mind that you can be triggered into.
Well, I do think that you can actually work on it and prevent yourself from being triggered.
But people are still going to do things that could elicit an anger response, but usually people do not know that you're angry if you do not act on it. And so I'm not too worried about stopping yourself from being angry, because you should still also be able to tell when you are wronged, but you don't want to act because you are wronged.
Okay, so let's talk about those two. So number one, right,
if you
are trying to manage it, remember, surrender it to God.
Absolutely.
Right. The Bible says vengeance belongs to the Lord. So surrender it to God. And I'm sure a lot of people are saying that it's easier said than done. Yes, you have the capacity and the power to overcome anger before it takes you into sin. And this is the only way, you surrender it to God. And what are some practical Bible tips on how you surrender it to God? Number one, Proverbs 15, verse 1 tells us, speak gently, right? So use a gentle voice. In all situations like that, use a gentle voice. If you can be able to calm yourself down, you're able to calm the voices in the other person's head.
Right, and there are even late texts that tell you the same thing. When, like, even in hostage situations and conflict resolution, if you read Chris Voss's book about negotiating as if your life depends on it, he tells you the same thing when in a very serious conflict situation that you have to calm the voices in your head. You have to slow down the speaking. But James 1:19 takes this on as well, which it tells you more about the fact that we have to be quick to listen and slow to speak, and that will lead us to being slow to anger.
Yeah, so that's the second way. Keep your temper under control. And the way you keep your temper under control is just being quick to listen, slow to speak, and that would slow, you'll be slow to get angry.
Yeah, the trigger of anger, or at least the management of anger.
And then the last but not least is the prayer. Pray for each other. Pray for yourself and pray for the other person. I know that is difficult in that angry state to pray for the other person. But I guarantee you that is the best antidote here. When you start praying for the other person in this situation, there's just something within you. It's like the devil says to himself, you know what, every time I come and anger this person, he instead helps the opponent to beat me that bad. And then the spirit can stop bringing it to your mind. Because I've noticed, it's not just you wanting to stay in that. It's that no matter what, the spirit keeps bringing this thing to your mind every time.
And when you say spirit, you're not talking about the Holy Spirit, obviously,
yeah,
right?
The spirit of anger. Yeah, he keeps bringing it to
you. The devil keeps reminding you that, you know, you have not prepared that person. You've not yet taught him a lesson.
Yeah,
you have not shown him or her who you really are. Yeah.
So a good way is to just make that deal with the devil that, you know what, every time you remind me about this
I'm
person,
I'm just going to pray for that person.
I'm going to pray for that person. And sure enough, he's going to stop reminding you about that person after a little while here. All right. So, guys, I think that those are the things we wanted you to work on. Talk about the few things we've pointed out. How can you use these solutions in your marriage? How can you even help each other to use this, calm down, take control over your situation and all that? So as we've come to the end of this specific chapter, we're going to have Jacob do our closing prayer.
Thank you, Doris. Let us pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, seeking your guidance and strength in managing our anger within our relationship. We acknowledge that anger can be destructive and harmful, leading to conflicts and hurtful words. Lord, help us to cultivate patience, understanding, and self-control in the face of anger. Grant us the wisdom to listen with empathy, to respond with love, and to seek peaceful resolutions. Fill our hearts with your grace that we may forgive one another and let go of grudges. May our words and actions be guided by your righteousness and bring healing and restoration to our relationship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for listening. Next episode, next podcast, next week Tuesday, would be on chapter 12, Pruning the Fruits of Sloth. This is a whole different one, and I don't know, it affects a lot of us, but I don't think people really even understand or even have it in the back of their mind. So don't miss that one. You'll be shocked at the revelations of that one too. And as always, join us this Thursday as we do the live chat. And if you're a guest, if you're a couple out there hearing what we're saying and thinking, oh, this, there's something I can contribute to this topic, please reach out to Jacob and I. We'll be happy to bring you on set so we can talk about it together. As usual, submit your questions using this link once as this is aired, and we'll be able to respond to them. Or you can text it to Jacob or I, or WhatsApp it to Jacob and I, and we would respond to it when we are on air on Thursday.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like, share, subscribe, and hit the alarm bell so you can get alerts in real time once every episode is released.
Please let me just make a point. I know that Jacob and I do the broadcast on our phone where we're broadcasting to everybody, but At some point we have to stop doing that. So please, if you're religiously listening and you've not yet subscribed, go on and click that subscribe button so that you could just be reminded by YouTube, because at some point we have to stop broadcasting so that we're not filling up the inboxes of other people that we don't care for the messages we're sending. So please, if you're listening, I meet a lot of people that say they're listening and I'm like, oh, I think you've not subscribed. If you've not subscribed, click and subscribe, share with other people so that they can.
And remind them to subscribe, but also click on that alarm bell so you get reminders immediately the podcasts are sent out.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. And we look forward to talking to you on Thursday. Bye. Let's talk about love. Feel it all right, and let's talk about